Continuing on with verses 5 through 8, entitled here, Being Fellow Helpers to the Truth, coming from verse 8 there, Being Fellow Helpers to the Truth. And last time we talked about the blessing upon being a blessing, where the apostle is giving encouragement to Gaius, who's being faithful in this work of hospitality. And that's how Gaius was being a fellow helper to the truth. And so there's this blessing that the apostle is giving upon Gaius's work of being a blessing. We notice the deeds of faith, that this is a faithful thing, that this is a deed of faith, that when we are hospitable, it's actually an act of faith. It's an act of faith. And you see that later on as you get through the passage here. We also saw the frequency of these deeds, that it's something that is an ongoing thing, that this is something that he continued to do. It became characteristic of this man. Then we also saw that this is work. We saw that with the word doest in verse 5. It says, whatsoever thou doest, that's the work for labor. So we see that hospitality is an act of labor. It's work. Things of service such as housing, providing meals, providing your time, being interested, and then, you know, having a comfort welcome atmosphere to the guest. So there's a lot of things that are involved in showing hospitality. It is work. It's a good work. Good labor. It is, but it's labor, which takes energy and takes time and sometimes can wear you out. So, but this is good though. The apostle is commending him for this. And we ended with the benefactors of these deeds. We saw here to the brethren and to strangers. And I want to revisit that and just kind of go through this again and kind of show you some things here. We see here the word to, which is a particular Greek preposition, which means for the benefit of, or for the advantage of. That's the idea, for the benefit of. So Gaius is here, that's why I chose the word benefactors. Gaius here is seeking out the benefit of these traveling brethren. These traveling brethren. He wants them to be benefited in their walk, in their journey as they travel. So we see here actually a construction here, to the brethren and to strangers. And this can actually go two ways. I would say there can be either be two classes of people, or it could be the same class of people. It's all how you look at it here. But it's a construction here where you have a preposition, an article, a noun, and then you have a preposition, an article, and noun, as if they were two classes of people. All right, so we see that. There are some commentaries that would see this as one class, where I said last time, where some look at it as this, to the brethren and that to strangers, or as namely strangers, as meaning that the strangers are the brethren are the strangers. And so some commentaries look at that as this, and they go to some passages. But when I looked at the passages, and you look at the Greek is not exactly the same as far as the way it's constructed. There's one word that's different. So, you know, there's that. But what I can say here is that there can be two possibilities. So on the one hand, you can see this as two separate groups, meaning that the brethren are these people that Gaius knows as brothers, those who are close to him, probably more regulars that came around. And then the other people would be the strangers, not the idea of strangers of what we think of strangers, but when we think of strangers in the Bible, we're talking about foreigners, those who are out of town. And we talked about that for a good length of time. And, you know, being friendly to those strangers who would come from faraway cities, from faraway places. And we have people here who are from faraway places. Now, they're not strange people, okay? All right. We know them. We know them, so that's, but that's the idea, is that they're from far away, but they're known. They're known Christians from far away, from different parts of the globe, you could say. In that time, of obviously, is from different parts of the empire, and maybe from even outside the empire of that time. But these were foreigners. And then there's the other way you could look at it, because sometimes the word "and" there in verse 5, to the brethren and to strangers, sometimes that conjunction can be translated "even." So sometimes it can be translated like this, to the brethren, even to strangers. And of course, you could take that a couple different ways. You can take it as two different people or some people, that's the same people. So, you know, people can take it either way here. But the point that I want to make here is that John is maximizing on that Gaius is showing friendliness and hospitality even to strangers, even to foreigners, those who are, you could say, are from out of town. They're not, you don't know exactly who they are, maybe don't know their names, but they're from out of town. You know they're Christians, and you probably know that they're coming around, but you don't know exactly who they are. You've never met them. And so we talked about that for a good while, where we talked about that they might have some differences, and they might have a different, come from a different church, different ministry, and all those things. We've learned a lot from the ministry to the Jews. I think we've learned a lot. I think you can agree to that. I think it's been a blessing to us, okay? Something that's been a help to us. And that's what we have to see, is that sometimes these people who visit, we may not know them as well as our own brethren, or as some that may come around on a regular basis, but they might be a help to us. They might be a help to us in ways that we didn't think so. They might be a help to us, might give us a different perspective on a certain part of the Great Commission, like the Jews. I mean, so, you know, it's a help to us in that way. And so we think about this. What do we know about Gaius? Overall, he's a very hospitable man. Whether it's to his fellow brethren who are within his own church, or it's to those who are outside the confines of his church, to other Christians who are traveling around and preaching the gospel, he's a hospitable man to every Christian brother and sister. And that's the point here. He was hospitable all the way around. And so, you know, this doesn't regulate even just to missionaries. Sometimes it's just people who are traveling. Sometimes we got people who are traveling through here. They may not be missionaries. They may just be Christians that are traveling around, visiting. And that's the way Gaius was. He was hospitable to any and all of them. And that's the thought we ought to have with our own Christian brothers and sisters. You know, have that same spirit about us with one another. Being hospitable to one another, even with our homes, and thinking, how can I be hospitable with my home? How can I be a help to somebody within my church family here? How can I show hospitality? How can I be a help in various ways? And so I know some of you are very good at that. And so, you know, I'll be with John here and commend you on that. It's very good. We got to keep that up. I think that's a very good trait to have. But all of them, missionary or not, would fit the bill for hospitality. And we do well when we show such a thing to any and every Christian here or from afar, present among us or traveling from afar, to those of our own church family and to those from other churches of like faith and practice. And so, you know, the question to us is how well are you showing the same hospitality like Gaius did in his situation? And think of ways that you can. Think of ways you can prepare your home to be suitable for that. Okay? You say, but I got to clean my house. Well, I guess then you got to clean your house. Okay? All right? It takes work, right? That's what we said. It takes work. It takes work, but it's a good work. It's a good thing to say, I am going to do that. I'm going to make sure I make my life fitting and suitable to be able to put it into practice. So those are just some thoughts. And some of us are already good at it. You know, we're just jump at the ball for it. That's great. Now, another thing we see here in verse 6 is still talking about this blessing upon being a blessing. What I would say this is the word on the street. The word on the street. Or you could say the good report that spreads around. It says in verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church. Okay, and we saw this in verse 3. That the brethren that were traveling around, they came, they testified of the truth that was in Gaius. They reported back about Gaius, and they had good news to say. In verse 6 here, they're reporting, again, John is saying that they're reporting back. They're bearing witness, this testimony of Gaius. And John is reporting back to Gaius that they reported to him. So these traveling brethren and or strangers were the ones who bore witness or gave testimony concerning Gaius's hospitality. Now this is the aorist, says have borne witness, this is an aorist. And so this was a fact already said and known of Gaius. This was something that was known of him. It was a well-established fact. This is something that had been an ongoing thing in his life. Well-established. And so there was enough testimony to say that this was characteristic of this man. He was consistent in it. He perfected the practice of this in his life. And there were several witnesses to it. You could say it was the word on the street about Gaius. The known facts of him spread all around, perhaps, but especially to the church in which John was situated at that point. So it says before the church. So these brethren would come back to John, probably the one who sent them out, and they would report back to the church their travels. Now, of course, Gaius didn't do this for self-glory. He didn't do this to be known for something. He didn't do this to be seen of men. That was not the purpose of him doing this. This was merely a conclusive effect of his actions and conduct. It is just what happens when this practice happens. Word spreads. Word spreads about our missions department. Okay? They like it. The good word spreads. And then people want to come. And they want to try it out. See, word spreads around. Reports go back. And like I said, a little while back, you know, news travels, reputations travel, things travel. Christian brothers and sisters are thankful for hospitality. They are excited about the faith of others. They want to spread good news about other Christians. And so we note here something. It is a worthy practice to spread good news and good reports about other brethren, of ones in our church and of ones from other churches and other ministries. Now, perhaps we want to say, well, there's nothing good to say. Okay. There's nothing good to say. Okay. I'll take one step back here. Well, then we ought to have that said of all of us. There's nothing good to say. Because no man is good. Right? But that's not what we read here. There is something good to say about Gaius. There was something good that was said about Gaius. This is where we go back to Scripture and say, okay, what is it telling us? I don't tell it what it said, what it should say. No, I'm going to say, tells me what it says. They were speaking well of Gaius, something good that he was doing as good Christian behavior. And so we read about other brethren spreading good report about another brother who was faithful in the task of hospitality. That's what we have here. So we ought to say that there must be something good to say about other Christians. There is something good to say about every Christian here. There are good qualities. There's giftedness that God has given to you within our church. So we ought to maximize on that. Say, this person's really good at that, or that person's really good at that. Yeah. Let me put that person in this position, and be a help, be a body part. It's good. We certainly all have our share of problems. Granted, we do. But what are the shares of good things to say? Okay? Is there not something noticeable and outstanding that is faithful, a faithful thing to speak about when it comes to another Christian? Okay, so, you know, here we have reports coming back, good reports coming back about these Christians, about Gaius. And we ought to learn from that. You know, it's a good thing to do. It's a practice that we can grow in, something that we can do. Notice now what the word about Gaius was. Notice here, verse 6, which I've borne witness of thy charity. Okay, now, when it says charity, we're not thinking about like the modern sense of charity. He did charity, okay? All right? No, not that charity. It's the word love, agape. His love. So what do we see here? Hospitality is an act of love. Very simple. It's an act of labor, it's an act of faith, it's an act of love. Yes, it's an act of work and labor, but it's also an act of love. We could say that it is a labor of love. It was Gaius' show of love to these visiting brethren. It was his show of love for the gospel and the truth and the work thereof. This is the virtue that hospitality boils down to, love. It is the core motivation for the doing of such service to others. Why did Gaius do what he did? Because he loves the brethren. Because he loves the work of God. Because he loves the gospel spreading around. That's why. And such love involves giving and serving others and for the cause of the spread of the truth. Don't we read that in the Gospels? I was just reading that this week. I was just actually reading further on in Matthew, just kind of reading some spots there, but it talked about, again, the women who followed Jesus, and then it tags on, also explains that they ministered, they served. You know, Mary and Martha, they served. Mary Magdalene, they served. They served. And I did a whole message on that. But they were hospitable. That's how they showed their love for Jesus, is they showed hospitality. Now, it's not the only way, but it's one way that we can show love. We can show our support to the spread of the truth. So, therefore, one way you can communicate love for other Christians and for the truth of God is through the practice of hospitality. For some, this is the characteristic way that they show love for the brethren. Like I said, some are very good at it in our church. It's like a gift that they have. It's just very gifted in that way. And God uses that for great things. And like I said before, we ought not diminish it and think of it as a lesser thing. We ought to think of it as a great thing, as a wonderful thing. There's a whole epistle here commending it. So this is a good thing. But what do we know about these people who are very characteristic about it? They enjoy it. It is their thing. But it can be characteristic of all of us to some degree. It's not like, well, it's just for, you know, some elite hospitable people. You know, it's, you know, they're the ones who wear the green. I'm the one who wears the red. You know, it's kind of like on the flight deck of the Enterprise. You got the various people who do their things. They wear the different colors. Like, I'm a different color. That's just what I'm, you know, it's just wear different vests, okay? No, we all ought to be hospitable in certain ways, to some degree. Just others may be more in that way. So it is a way, not the only way, to communicate love for the brethren, whether they be of our own congregation or they be from other places around the world. Furthermore, these traveling brethren, probably sent out by the Apostle John on various missionary journeys, would return to their sending church, probably the same church in which John ministered from. These travelers brought report back and presented news of their journeys, and part of the news they brought was the hospitality and the love that was shown by this man. That was part of their report. And sometimes we read that in our missionary reports. People that were hospitable in certain ways. Maybe missionaries are on furlough or something like that, or on deputation. They're doing things like, and they're mentioning the churches that were hospitable to them. That's what we have here. It's real. And it says here, before the church, the understanding is that it involved the church seeing and hearing these traveling brethren give report amongst and in front of the gathered believers. They simply gave testimony of their travels with the gospel, and part of their testimony included Gaius and how he provided for them along their journey. So they would come before the congregation in front of them and present their journeys, present the results of their journeys. And we see that through the book of Acts, where Paul and Barnabas did so. They would come back to Antioch and report their journeys. These traveling brethren would do the same thing. It would be similar to some of us visiting Medford, or visiting Headwaters, or Carson City, or some other missionary endeavor around the world, and then bringing back testimony of what was seen and done in that time period. That's what we have here. And that's just an example. And this kind of reporting back is actually encouraged by Scripture, as we see here. Missionaries also send out missionary updates. We have those in that binder there. And it's good for us to, from time to time, flip through them and read what's going on with our missionaries. And I'm glad that he reads it every Wednesday. It helps us understand what our missionaries are facing on the mission field, understand what we can pray for, how we can help, and how we can... You say, what I'm saying here in verse 8, be fellow helpers to the truth. Being fellow helpers to the truth. And so we can be helpers in their travels as they travel and report around to their supporting churches. We can be helpers just to any traveling brethren who are bearing and being faithful to the truth. Then they can rejoice in the fact that there are faithful brethren in the San Francisco Bay Area, of all places. They can go back and say, there's a good church there. There are Christians there. There are in California? Yes, there are. Remember when we were in college, is there anything that good that comes out of California? What are you saying? What are you saying about me? All right. But that was... You travel around, I mean, I haven't traveled around the states a lot, but you travel around the states a lot, people have a certain view of California. They think, is there anything good there? Is there any good church there? Okay, yes, there are. Okay, and that's a report that can be brought back. And even as, you know, we think about Carson City and Sparks, the reason why those began is because report was brought back that they're was a need for churches there. Okay, so, you know, report does come back, and those reports are very helpful to help us understand the need that is there. So we want our church to be the good word on the street so that other churches know that we support mission work and the love of other brethren. And I think that's part of the reason why we're getting more traffic on missionaries wanting to present their work here, I think it's starting to open up a little bit more here that we're serious about supporting missions. And that's good. But let your house and your household also be a good word on the street, so that when others roll around, we know, they know, that you can be counted on to have a hospitable home. See, I don't want my name floating around. It probably is, okay? And that might be a good thing. Hopefully a good thing, right? Your home is a hospitable home. It's ready to go, ready to serve for the sake of the truth and for the sake of others who serve the same Jesus. So we see this in verse 6 here. But we get to the latter half of verse 6, and we see here the furtherance of the work. The furtherance of the work. So we saw the blessing upon being a blessing. As second of all, we see here the furtherance of the work. Now that John was finished with mentioning the testimony of all that Gaius had done already, John was ready to encourage Gaius to continue on this path of hospitality. It says here, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. The whom seems to be referring back to the brethren and strangers again. The traveling brethren preaching the truth to the Gentiles, as we see in verse 7. And the whom is paired up with an aorist participle, and that's in relation to the verb here, which is thou shalt do well. And so what we have here is, it can be translated this way. Having brought forward on their journey, thou shalt do well. If having brought forward on their journey, thou shalt do well. And so there's a conditional aspect here. There's, you say it's almost like it. John is laying down not a mandate, but an axiom of Gaius' life, of Gaius' practice, that this is the way he is, but also encouraging him to continue in this way. And so there seems to be a conditional aspect, and we see this in how it's translated, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Meaning that there had to be the fulfillment of the action of this participle, which is bringing forward on their journey, in order for the action of the main verb to come true, which is thou shalt do well. In essence, upon any completion or fulfillment of Gaius bringing forward these traveling brethren on their journeys, he would be doing a right thing, an upright thing. It will be an upright thing. Consider then, hospitality cannot be a mere want or a mere thought. It has to come to action. It has to come to fulfillment. You can't say, well, I thought about it, but I never got around to it. Yeah, well, crossed my mind, but, you know, just, I was thinking about it, then I lost my opportunity. Okay? You know, I was going to do it. You know, those kinds of statements that come out of our mouths. Well, it actually has to come to fulfillment in order for it to be said, a good thing has been done. You may have good intentions. You may have good ideas. You may have good thoughts towards it. But it actually has to happen. You know? It actually has to happen. Because the practice of it is where it counts. It's where it counts. Not a forethought. Not I was intentional to do it. Or I wanted to do it. But never got to it. You know? We're going to say that a lot about things. You know, I really know I need to fix that fence. But you know, good intentions, okay, good thoughts, but it never gets done. You know, do we all have projects like that? Okay, all right. Okay, but the practice has to actually happen for it to count. All right, so also consider here, hospitality cannot be a thing of the past. It must be a thing of the future. It says here, thou shalt do well. That's future tense. Can't just be a thing of the past. Has to be a thing of the future. We cannot lean upon the past and say, oh yeah, I've done that. You must look to the future and say, I'm game for more. When's the next opportunity? Count me in. Next time, count me in. I'll be first in line to say, I offer. It cannot be, well, I've done it once in the past and that's it, you know. Let it be, I'll offer my home any and every time the chance should arise. That would be a better way to view hospitality. Not as a thing of the past, and that's great. You know, John is commending Gaius for having this testimony about him. But it can't just be that. It's got to be, you got to also say, I'll do more. What else can I do? It's like when employees would come to me, and they finished a task, and wonderful. And they say, what else can I do? Wow. Great. Well, okay, yeah, I got more work. Yeah. What else can you do? Yes. Okay? So have that attitude with hospitality. What else can I do? How else can I help? When's the next time? Furthermore, what does this mean here? It says here, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort. Say, what does that mean? Bring forward on their journey. I know this is a different era of time where people traveled, not by train, not by any airplane or, no cars, no planes, no automobiles, none of those things, okay? All right? Things were different back then. The idea, the word means to send forward, to bring on the way, or to accompany an escort. It also includes assisting a person on a journey, either by giving provisions for the journey or by accompanying someone part of the way. That's the idea. Actually, it was customary in those days to escort a person on his way as he departed, at least part of the way. I want to consider a few passages where we see this word repeat itself, where we see it in other passages. Titus 3:13. And I actually find this part quite amazing. It answers your question. Titus 3:13 says, bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. So same word used. Bring them on their journey diligently, that nothing be wanting unto them. So we see it there. Another scenario where this was happening. 1 Corinthians 16:6-11. Says here, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that ye may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. Okay, so you see it there, verse 11, talking about Timotheus. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace. There it is, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So we see another scenario there. Turning to Acts 15:3 says here, and being brought on their way by the church, there it is, and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And lastly, Acts 21:5. Acts 21:5. This is in Paul's journeys. It says here, and when he had accomplished those days, we departed and went our way, and they all brought us on our way with wives and children till we were out of the city, and we kneeled down on the shore and prayed. I want to notice a few things from these passages about bringing someone along the way. What does this all include? Well, first of all, it includes, or included, travel provisions. Travel provisions, you know, such as food, water, financial support, whatever they needed in their travels. If they're traveling by, I don't know, donkey or whatever, they're traveling by, what, by foot, whatever, giving them some provisions so they have something along the way from point A to point B. Okay, so they're not starving along the way. Okay? There might not be, you know, a McDonald's along the way. So they need some food in their pack along the journey. So it includes travel provisions. We also see from the passages that it includes going wherever was needed to go to assist and to help. There is no thought in thinking, well, I'm not going there. No. I'm not going that direction. No, it meant going wherever to help this traveling brother along the way. Going wherever to assist and to help. Also, it probably included a safety aspect. You see about Timotheus, conduct him forth in peace. Maybe there was a safety aspect with escorting someone along the way, just making sure that they get to their next destination in a safe way. Fourthly, sometimes it is a whole church endeavor to assist and help some brother on a journey. We saw that in Acts 15:3, that the whole church was involved in bringing them along their journey. However that looked, but the whole church was involved helping out, making sure that these guys got to the next destination. Now this one gets me, you know, in Acts 21:5, where it says the wives and the children were involved in bringing forth Paul on his journey. So the wives and the children didn't have to be exempted from being part of this. I find that quite amazing. The children too? You know, don't they get in the way? And, you know, they're just, you know, they get trampled under your feet. You know, they're loud. They smell. You know, all these things about children, okay? I have children, don't worry. So, okay? And they just get in the way. But it didn't seem like that in this moment. The wives and the children were involved. Actually, it's good for families to include the rest of the household in ministry. It's good. Like when we're out here on Saturdays for evangelism, it's good to include your entire family. And the children. Take your children on evangelism? Yes. Yes. It's good. Okay? And go as long as you can. Okay? I understand there's a certain point where, you know, they're getting too restless, they got to stop. But it can happen. Okay? That's why they make strollers. All those things. They help. They travel. Okay? It's good to include your children in ministry. Bring your children with you to do ministry. Not just you. It's good that you do the ministry, but get your children involved too. It's good. I mean, that's what we read here, don't we? They were involved in this. And I actually remember the house of Stephanus. The house of Stephanus. It was addicted to the ministry of the saints. Not just Stephanus, his entire house was. And then lastly, what we see here, it included a time of prayer. bringing forth on this journey included a time of prayer. Therefore, this is what is meant by bringing brethren forward on their journey. Therefore, hospitality can be more than staying at your house or having a meal at your house. That's all good, that's all great. But it could be more than that you do to help. It can also mean a drive to the airport. There you go, bringing someone forth on their journey. A drive to the airport, getting them from point A to point B so they can get from point B to point C. It can mean a short drive up the way. Maybe they're going a few hours away to visit another church. Maybe it's driving with them or following them along the way, and you stop part of the way and you stop for coffee and just sit down and have a conversation. It could be that. I'm just giving you examples of how this can be put into practice. It can be an envelope with some cash for someone's next journey. Hey, you're going there? Here's $40. Here's $40. Use it how you need. It can be organizing and coordinating the Christian's stay at his next destination. Could be that, where you're calling up, you maybe know the other church that he's going to. And you say, you call it up and you coordinate with them on how things can be accommodating to that brother or sister. So it can be a lot of things along these lines. Whatever is necessary to help him on his way so that it goes smoothly, so that he is cared for in the best way possible, and so that he can move forward in the work of God, as we see here in the next phrase here, after a godly sort. That this is for a whole purpose that is in mind with serving God. And we'll see that next time. But I want us to think about this whole idea of bringing people along the way. What can we do to help others? Maybe there are things on our mind, certain missionaries, certain situations on our mind where we're thinking, how can we help that brother or that missionary family or help some traveling brother along the way and help them in some financial way or in some provisional way or just help in a way of conversation and fellowship, whatever it may be. So something for us to really think about and put into practice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word here. I pray that you would help us to learn from these passages and to understand how we ought to be hospitable and how we can be, how we can grow in the various details of being hospitable. And Father, I pray that you would strengthen us as brothers and sisters in the faith to be a church that is this way and to give you the honor and glory and serve you in this way. In Jesus' name, amen.